Do you really have to go?
It feels such a short time. Oh, don't leave us. You can't leave us. You don't have to leave us.
I think you need to let go of his sleeve.
I'm afraid we do.
Fresh pastures.
That one over there for a start.
Come back soon.
I can.
Welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Fiona.
And we're just holding the beers for Matthew and Robert while they go off and have some other audio adventures of excitement.
Yes, I'm sure you'll hear all about them in the future.
Yes, and we promise to try not to drink the beers. Well, Fiona does anyway. So yes, today we're discussing the work-life balance with audio production and real life. How on earth do we manage to fit in this extravagant lifestyle of audio production when we've got other families and jobs and so on going on in our life?
Exactly. It's a big problem, I think, for a lot of people.
It is. And just looking at our Facebook feed for the Audio Production Podcast just recently, there's been a fascinating look at what people do for real-life jobs. And that's been quite an eye-opener, really, hasn't it, Fiona?
Yeah, it's a really great range, actually, and some really unexpected ones, you know. Mm-hmm. The Haunted House was...
That's
brilliant.
We should amazing. All go there. Let's go on a road trip.
Yes, that'd be great. So, yeah, definitely. And you can see from the jobs as well that some of them presumably have very long hours and possibly commutes as well. And of course, like you say, people have families. They have all sorts of other commitments and caring responsibilities. So audio drama, it's got to be tucked in there somewhere.
Yeah. And because we were just discussing, really, weren't we? How people write? Where do you write? Where do you go to be able to create these exciting things we hear hourly, daily? Mm. And I just think the main thing we were looking at really was people's inspiration for getting things done as well. What inspires you to crack on and just get on with it?
What kind of routines do you have and rituals and? Yeah. Sacrifices, that kind of thing.
I haven't done one of those in at least a week. But yes, I think as well it's about thinking how you do spend time on this and fit it around your daily grind.
Mm. Because you do quite a lot of writing as well as performing and all sorts of, well, lots of things you do. How do you fit writing into your daily or maybe not daily life?
Yes, a bit vampirical, I suppose. I tend to work on my writing just after midnight, really, when everything is done with my daily household. I've spent a bit of time with my man, and we generally have all lights out, and then I can get the only headspace of the day to write, really. And I think the collation of information and ideas and stuff happens like sporadically, so it can be I note something down on my phone or paper or whatever, like a receipt I can find in my pocket, and then that all goes into the mix. Maybe someone said something or done something and I think that's quite fun, that would fit in with whatever it is I'm working on. So I kind of can only actually get to the nitty-gritty of doing it after the midnight hour, as I say, where I should not be watered or fed, just in case, who knows what could come out. But how about you?
Yeah, with writing, I'm similar to you. I'm scraps of paper. I keep trying to take a proper notebook with me, but I very often ditch it out of my handbag because I'm carrying kitchen sinks and wipes and goodness knows what else. I do tend to make lots of notes all the time. But the time when I can really write for me is when I'm on a journey, like if I'm on a big train journey, and it's kind of having that permission, and that space, and the fact that there's nothing else I can actually do while on the journey,
buy the sandwiches.
Exactly. And so it's really nice because you've got that sort of real focus and well, hopefully quietness, or, you know, just the sort of white noise of chatter all around you, you know. And maybe it is also the rhythm of the train. It just every time I've done it, it's been the time when I've managed to write my most amount of words. And the best stuff I've written has always been on a train, which, of course, could be a bit of a pricey way of carrying on if I wanted to be an
Fiona
actual writer
on a train.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you ever steal conversations from people as well that you listen to on the train, or is it too quiet?
Definitely. Definitely. I sometimes even record them, which I know I probably, that's probably wrong, isn't it? I don't know if I should know. But no, sometimes if it's a couple of people with really interesting accents or just speech patterns and things, if I've got my phone there, I might actually, yeah, record. I mean, not in some sort of really creepy, detailed kind of way. I add them to my archive.
My list, written in blood.
Yeah. But I do find that that kind of listening is really good for... It's amazing the patterns, isn't it, that people have when they speak and communicate.
Oh, definitely. That's amazing, yeah.
Mm. Do you do the same? I mean, probably not recording people, but do you also write down conversations?
Yeah, well, as I say, for me, it's like snippets of things or ideas or just moments of exchanges that I think have been quite fascinating, really. And yeah, I think it's there are some explosive and implosive moments in real life, aren't there? And I guess it depends what you're writing about. The things I've tended to try and write are kind of farcical comedy type things, which I'm aiming to do, but I'm like I am in real life speaking, I'm rather wordy. I need an editor, please. So yeah, I just need to be able to cut things down. So yes, I tend to perhaps put too much information verbally where I could cut it down, which is why I think audio drama has been fascinating, because obviously reading the scripts that I have done and seeing how things change over time with certain projects, I just find it brilliant how, you know, the editors really can get to the essence of something quite fantastically. Whereas, as I say, I'm far too verbal.
Well, it's a good thing for audio, probably.
Maybe, maybe. Depends what accent it is.
And on verbal, also you do a lot of acting as well. When do you find is the best time for recording? Do you do that as well, at night time?
Yeah, well, I work part-time as a teacher, so... basically, that is obviously needs some preparation time as well for what I'm doing. I don't just wing it, I promise. And I also got quite a lot of other projects that I work on sporadically in theatre for Amdram and things. So, yes, so I try and fit it in maybe of a Tuesday morning is my optimum time. And and then sort of an evening after 8 o'clock on a couple of days a week. And again, sometimes that can go very late. Although, obviously, with things like, I don't know, if I've been asked to do various screams and perhaps more ranting for various reasons. I've played a monster recently, which I even scared myself doing the noises of that. But yeah, I'd say things like that I tend to do, you know, when the kids are in bed, but so I'm not going to wake them. And they wonder what on earth happened to their mum, although they are a bit used to it because I kind of do things like that around the house anyway.
Of course, no, but that's a good point, actually, that apart from the physical side on your voice, you know, it's going to be a lot colder when you... I sometimes have to wake up at 4:30 to do stuff because it's the only time I know I won't wake other people up, definitely. And of course, there's a lot of very quiet warming up you have to do to get your voice sort of out of being sort of a couple of octaves lower and gravelly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, you're right, the actual content, you can't then do anything too extreme at that time in the morning.
Yes, 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 yes. It fascinates me how people also, you know, producers-wise, get into the mode of getting things done. Because obviously with people having potentially many remote actors to all get to the same sound levels and audio levels and so on and so forth, and speed-wise and Atmos and so on and so forth, I just wonder how producers kind of pull everything together and when. I find that fascinating. Currently.
Definitely. I think it's, for me, when I've produced, I've found that part of the job, particularly the beginning bit of getting those levels right and getting all the files into order and all sort of set up, that part can be quite mechanical in many ways. And so, in a sense, I've found that's easier to fit into small windows of time. So I've got 20 minutes, I can clean these files up and I can try to get the levels right. But then it's when the creative part comes in, then again, you need that headspace. Mm. So I guess for whichever parts of audio drama you're focusing on, it is that question of trying to find those windows of time, either through the night or the day or lunch hour or
yes.
However it works for you, I guess.
I guess because that's what we wanted to throw out to people, really, isn't it? Like advice on how you'd recommend utilising your free time, what you do specifically to be most efficient creatively. Like, you know, where do you go to write? Why does that work for you? What kind of headspace do you need to be able to, like you say, you work on a train in a way because you have to do something there, so that gives you that headspace. But I guess a lot of people who are parents just don't have that time as well, and people with crazy jobs who work crazy hours as well. It's quite fascinating to the people who work, you know, upside down days, as I call them, to fit everything in.
I did read a good quote by Robin Sharma, who is a life coach guru, and he said, stop managing your time, start managing your focus, which is something to think about there.
Time.
But I do know what he means. I think it's sometimes when you've got that window of, oh, I've got 1 hour before I have to go and do collection from school, sometimes all the pressure is on and the voices in your head are kind of going, come on, you've got one hour, if you don't get it done now, that's it.
It's like regressing back to school days when you had to do homework and it's got to be in the next day and you must do it. It works more efficiently if you have that tight deadline than you've got several weeks. Because I do have the thing where I've got lots of lines for specific things that aren't due for a little while and it unnerves me. I need to know really that they need it next week, not that, oh, it can be after Christmas. I just find that really difficult because then I kind of don't forget about it, but it just ends up being sort of left, whereas I could just crack on with it, I guess.
So as an actor, do you prefer it when producers give you quite tight deadlines rather than
definitely
looser
if
ones?
Yes, if my particular current circumstance isn't bonkers with plays and sport and taxiing mummy type things, then yes, I do prefer to know that it needs to be in by Tuesday and it's Monday. So yeah, I think I work better like that, really. But then that is just me. Some people obviously don't.
A producer I once, Rob Patterson, I did work with him on Kung Fu Action Theatre. He used to do little competitions. So he would say, well, this actor's got the gold medal this week for getting it in. And we did actually start kind of competing to get it in as fast as we could as we received the lines, which was great. Yeah, it worked very well, actually, because then you have that relief that it's all done. I think there's something to be said, actually, for doing things as soon as they come in, if you can.
Yeah, I'd do that for chocolate. They're really kind, to be honest.
Of course.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Marvellous. And I just wondered if people wanted to share with us the kind of gems of information as to where they can be most creative in output, really.
Yeah, where's the strangest place you've been creative, or what's the strangest time of day that you find useful? Yeah, do contact us. If you've got anything to send in, if you want to actually talk to us, you can always talk to us, but you can always just send in a small audio file of your views on things. I think we've had some fantastic episodes with people sending in all their expertise and their particular experiences. If you want to send anything, please do to podcast@audiodramaproduction.com and we'll put it into future episodes.
Marvellous. Well, lovely talking to you. I think we'll await the floodgates to open for many people to let us know their experience.
If they have time to do it.
Well, this is it.
If they can balance it and fit it in. For more on this subject, we're delighted to be joined by, first of all, Brian Bristol of You Are Here, the world's first choose-your-own-adventure sci-fi audio drama.
Hello, this is Brian Bristol, executive producer and voice actor for You Are Here sci-fi audio drama, Subject Found, and Atheist Apocalypse. A big thing for me to get my work-life balance with audio dramas is really scheduling stuff out. I collaborate with 4 other people on You Are Here, 10 plus on Atheist Apocalypse, and then I just have Paul as a point of contact for Subject Found. But everything's scheduled out. Paul handles more of the Subject Found and Atheist Apocalypse stuff, and he checks in with me weekly, and I give him a schedule on when to expect stuff, and he lets me know when all his deadlines are, so that I give him plenty of lead time on being able to re-listen to episodes after I'm done with them, make any corrections he wants, stuff like that. With my team for You Are Here, we schedule our weekly meeting, and then once it comes around to it, if we decide that we don't need a meeting this week, we don't have a meeting this week. It all depends on where we are at on episodes, obviously. You know, sometimes Dan, who is our lead writer, is in the middle of writing an episode, and we don't really have any other stuff to flesh out until he gets through that episode. So we just kind of sit on that meeting, hold it off till the next week, we also have some side projects for patrons. We do like journals for people that live in the colony. So sometimes a couple of guys will sidebar, and instead of having the normal meeting, go and have their own little meeting and talk about journal stuff. Usually I spend that free time doing production stuff on the 3 shows I'm doing. But yeah, communication is the big one. It's going to save your butt 9 times out of 10. Somebody ends up sick or there's some other kind of emergency. If you don't have a good open communication with your team, things are just going to fall apart, and it's going to be nothing but a headache for everybody. It also helps me a lot to organize in production stuff all of my sound files. I'm very meticulous. It's folders in folders in folders in folders for everything. So that helps me produce fairly fast for full soundscape episodes. You know, I have all my footsteps, you know, somewhere, all my animal stuff somewhere, all my industrial stuff somewhere, ambiances in a couple different folders. For You Are Here, we have a lot of sci-fi effects, and a bunch of that is custom Foley, so it all gets, I mean, it takes time up front, it's like anything else, but you're rewarded in the end when you want to put something together and you have an idea for a sound, and shoot, you don't remember what you named that sound, but if you are categorizing it like you think you are, you should be able to reach in and find that file no problem. More balanced stuff, if you have kids at home and you plan on having people come over to record after bedtime, make sure they don't have any combat scenes where they have to yell a lot and learn that lesson. That was a big one. Other than that, I wish you good luck and enjoy your art. Thanks, Fiona and Sarah.
Earlier this week, I spoke to Kareem Cromfley, who's a prolific actor and also doing all sorts of other things within audio drama with local radio stations and other fun projects. This is what he had to say about how he manages work-life balance with audio drama and real life.
Hello, everyone out there in the audio drama production podcast listenership. My name's Kareem Cromfley. I'm a voice actor. You've heard me in a few things, but possibly Galaxy Quest Restoration Project, Byron Chronicles, The Fall. Those are the 3 main ones anyway. Work-life balance. Well, that's an interesting topic for me. Recently, or soon after I started dipping into voice acting more seriously, I became a father. So I have a young, bouncy, well, very bouncy 2.5-year-old, nearly 3-year-old, and he's consuming a lot of my life. So to try and keep a work-life balance, actually, voice acting is giving me a lot of that freedom. I used to be much more a stage actor than a voice actor. And stage acting, of course, involves an awful lot more rehearsal and time away from home and such things. What I gain from voice acting is time. In an 1.5-hour recording session, I can probably record an entire episode of a show with all the variations and send it up the line to the producer, whereas an hour and a half, 2-3 hours, maybe one rehearsal for maybe a short scene on a 6-week period. It's a whole different kettle of fish. What I do is I have a regular night where my wife knows that I'll be recording in my little studio, which is cubbied up in a corner of one of our spare rooms. I've got a little bit of sound dampening around the room. And I do some recording. I may do that quickly in a short period of time, so I can still spend some time with my wife later on. And then I'll do the editing later on, sort of usually into the small hours, before I go to bed. And then send it up the line ready for the producer to use and edit into the final piece. It's easy enough to do. It's just talking, making sure everyone in your life is aware of what you need to do. And if the emergency jobs come in, or the quick ones come in, you can just get your stuff set up, get ready to go, and do it. That's what I do.
I spoke to Austin Beach of Audio Oblivious Productions, hashtag Eagle Screech, about how he balances producing, acting, and in about 500 million different audio production projects, as well as dealing with his remote actors of loveliness.
Hello, this is Austin Beach of Audio Oblivious Productions, co-creator of Winnebago Warrior, The Tale of John Wannabe, Eagle Screech. First, I'd like to say thanks for asking me to be a part of this. I'm probably not the best person to ask about how I balance audio drama production with my daily life. I don't do it very well. I started out, we set aside Saturdays for us to work, get together, and produce or record or whatever. I have a slight advantage because I work with a group. I'm not taking it all on my shoulders. Scott Phillips does the majority of our writing. I handle most of the production. Well, all of the production. I started out setting aside Saturdays strictly for working on audio drama. I have a very understanding wife. That's key, I would say. It expanded to more than just Saturdays. We started setting aside Monday evenings also. Scott and I get together on Mondays. And I tend to take on too much at one time. I kind of tend to volunteer myself out for voice roles in other people's shows probably more than I should. Don't get me wrong, I love every minute of it, and I love the fact that everyone is giving me the opportunity to be in their shows, but I probably shouldn't do it as often as I do. That being said, I'm really not great at balancing my life. I tend to, when I set my mind on something, I tend to obsess over it, and which leads me to sometimes neglect other things in my life. As I said, I have a very understanding spouse, and she is my rock, and without her, I wouldn't be able to do all this, really. Moving on to production aspects, we do have a studio. It's in my mother's basement. We built it when we decided to get into producing audio drama. So we have a sound booth and a boardroom area, for lack of a better word. We just have a big table where we all kind of hang out. And casting roles for our show, as I said, I work with a group, and our group has expanded a little. It started out just me and Scott and Mike Jansen and Drew Prophet, and have since expanded to Jeremy Hennessy and his fiance, Danielle Reese. We all meet on Saturdays, as I said, I'm repeating myself, and just focus on production once a week. As far as advice for new producers, if it's something that you want to do, I say don't hesitate. Even if you think that your first production doesn't sound as great as it should, not many do. If you go back and listen to our first productions, there's a huge difference in the sound quality compared to what we're putting out today. Don't let that stop you or thinking whether or not you're cut out for this. Keep going. You'll get better. I basically just watched a lot of YouTube videos on how to use. I started out using Audacity, so I watched a lot of YouTube videos on how to use Audacity. of course, listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. You can do it. You can learn it. It just takes time. And so, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Austin. Finally, the super productive Paul Sating explains how he manages his time, and he gives a pep talk that, frankly, I would like on a loop on my alarm clock every morning. Enjoy.
Hey, this is Paul Sating of Subject Found, Diary of a Madman, and Atheist Apocalypse, brought to you, sponsored for you by this cup of awesome Colombian coffee that I've been drinking all morning. So how do you do what you do? How do you create audio drama? How do you find time to do audio drama and all that it entails? There's actually three pieces of advice that I'd like to hit on for this topic. Let me start off talking about audio drama production and work-life balance. So, you know, how do you do that? Well, I not only have three audio dramas, I have a number of manuscripts in the work that hopefully will become books someday, at least four as we speak, short stories that I write for my patrons, and two audio dramas that are unpublished that are also in various stages of development. That's a lot of stuff, right? I also am a father, I'm a husband, I'm a full-time employee. Got a lot going on. So how do I find the time to do all of this? The first thing that I would advise anyone is you have to carve out dedicated time. It does not matter if it's 10 minutes or 2 hours a day. You have to do it every day. And I mean that literally. You have to carve out that time every day. Of course, nothing is concrete in my worldview. So you owe it to yourself. You have to do the mirror check for yourself. If you're going to be serious about this, if you're passionate about this, if you really want to do this. So whatever that time is that you have promised yourself that you'll work on this, you have to honor that. You have to be dedicated to that, and you have to be disciplined. So whatever fits into your schedule, you may be a single parent with very little time to do anything. And sometimes you just need that brain dead time, that unwind time. And I get that. And sometimes that writing time that you wanted to work on this potential audio drama, maybe that gets sacrificed so you can pop in a Netflix movie and just unwind from a very long week. I don't begrudge anybody that. We all need that. However, that should be the exception, not the norm. If you're serious about this, those unwind times should be fewer and fewer, and that time that you used to give to that goes over to audio drama. You know, that means things like video games and computer gaming. I love those things too, but I'm a World of Warcraft geek. I can't remember the last time I played it. I would love to. I'm paying every month for that. And I just don't have the time to, because audio drama is more important to me. It's productive time versus the unproductive time of watching movies, playing computer games, etc. So that's what I would say. Whatever, define what that time is for you, what your tolerance is, and understand that. You set that limit for yourself. So if it is 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a day, great. If it's, you can literally only get away with carving out 15 minutes of your day for this, there isn't anything wrong with it. Do it. You may be surprised how that evolves over time. Whether it be weeks, months, or years. You may find yourself a year from now having that 15-minute period actually evolve into an hour daily that you're able to give to it. You'd be surprised. And then in that time, you have to have dedicated partitions, if you will. You have to have the creative time, and you have to have the logistical time. And what do I mean by that? This is the digital age. Everybody's everywhere on the internet. You have to be as well. Your audio drama has to be as well. People need to know who you are. That requires time. I know all kinds of people in audio drama. People who are tech-driven and leverage that very well. And then there are people I know in audio drama who don't even have a smartphone. So understanding those constraints is important, obviously, but those two worlds should never meet. And I know another concrete term, but you have to be very careful about them meeting. For me, I don't have to leave for work until 7:30 in the morning. I get up at 5:15 every single morning, weekends being the exception. But during the week, I get up at 5:15 every morning. And between 5:15 and 7:30, that's my writing time with very few exceptions. I love my family dearly, but with my brain, its creative energy is isolated to the morning in terms of actually writing. I'm creative all day long, like most creatives that I know. But that's when I need to write. My brain gets too tired any time after that because my job requires that I write and read all day long. So at 5 o'clock in the evening, there is no more energy left for writing and reading. I don't even want to be at a computer anymore. So if I don't do it in the morning, it will never get done. You know, it's about knowing yourself and being honest with yourself. So I have to make that sacrifice. I have to get up at 5:15. I would like to get up earlier, to be completely honest with you. But right now, that's where I'm at myself. But there have to be those partitions, right? So the 5:15 to 7:30 time, that's my writing time. Those of you who may follow me on any of the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you'll note I don't do myself any social media favors by when I post on there. I should, because of where I live, I should be getting on to Twitter earlier to push my shows and to, you know, promote stuff. But that's my writing time. I'm on the west coast of the United States. So everybody in Europe has already long been awake and well into their days by the time I wake up. And even in America, the folks on the east coast, heavily populated side of the country, right? They're already into their work day by the time I'm waking up. So they're not necessarily looking at their Twitter feed to see any news about a show. However, I have made that conscious decision. I will forego that writing time for those logistical concerns. And that's what I consider social media. There is the creative element to all of this. And then there's the necessary evil of popularizing your message. I don't mix those because if I take my hands away from the keyboard to go send out a tweet about the show, I can capture that flow again, but it takes time. It's kind of like sprinting, you know, you're sprinting a 100-yard dash and then you pull up 50 yards into that sprint to stop and flirt with a cute girl. And then you've got to start sprinting again after you're done flirting. It takes time to get back up to speed. Each second that it takes you to catch up again is that much further you're behind in the race. I don't, nor do I wish to do that to myself. So the writing time in the morning is the writing time. After 7:30, I have a job and I have a mastery of my job to the point where I can do that social media stuff. And if you follow me, like on Twitter, @PaulSading, on Instagram, the same thing. That's when you'll start seeing those messages come out, is when I'm back at work, because when I have a 5-minute break, I can do something. So the dedicated writing time is untouched by family and by these requirements. And then for the logistical time, be flexible as much as your life will allow. Like I said, I do mine at work. I do mine, you know, when I'm running errands, when I'm driving, not when I'm driving, but when somebody is driving somewhere and I'm a passenger, that's a great time to get on the social media and send out a quick tweet about your show. That's just the necessary evil. Until we can hire folks to do it for us, that's what we all as independent creators have to do. I would highly encourage you creatives, though, honor that creative time like you would honor your loved ones. No one should violate that. No one and nothing should violate that. I mean that as genuinely as I can say it, I mean it. That should be untouched time for you in your element, whatever that is for you. Now, as far as rituals go, there aren't very many rituals beyond the time, again, that I use for creating. It's a time and it's a setting. There's a certain way I do it. The only rituals will be audio drama for me. The dialogue, I need to have a clear head. So I need to come into my office and close the door and have that quiet time. If there are any distractions, it impedes the creation of the dialogue for me and requires a lot of editing in that phase. So, you know, I block out those conversations that may be happening. Thankfully, I write in the morning, so there aren't a whole lot of conversations because everyone's getting ready for their day. And the TV is off. Don't need the TV. Now, I don't, when I'm doing audio drama, necessarily write with music. A lot of people do. And I use it when I do my other writing, my other creative writing, like my short stories. For my patrons, in January, I'm going to release a story called Salt and Pepper. It's an LGBTQ love story. And for that piece, because there's a lot of exposition in there versus the dialogue, for that piece, I had music playing a lot. Music that fit the theme. So if there are any rituals, I will say that I will play music when I'm doing non-audio drama stuff to fit the theme. Or there is, for example, I do it in audio drama. There is a piece in the season finale of season 4 of Atheist Apocalypse, which won't come out until well into 2017. But when you get to that episode, it'll be episode 12, actually. Jake, the main character, has an expansive dialogue, a monologue, if you will. And in order to pull that off in the spirit that I wanted to pull it off, I did have inspirational music, uplifting music playing through my iTunes or whatever while I was writing that, because it got me in that element. Lyric free. Sorry for those of you who enjoy lyrics. I do as well. but for the writing piece, to focus on that dialogue, to lose yourself in that environment, in that moment, just, I would encourage you to try, you know, just an instrumental piece that fits that theme. And lastly, Sarah and Fiona asked about key advice for those of you who may be trying to figure out how to get more time to do audio drama or how to fit audio drama into your life. A three-step principle that I guide myself with that may help some of you. 3D. I'm copywriting this so you can't use it. 3D. Dedication, discipline, and delegate. You've got to be dedicated to what you're doing. If you say you're going to do this, do it. If you promise someone a script, write it and have it delivered to them when you say you're going to. If you're going to voice act something, do it and do it in the spirit that they need it in. If you're going to produce something, produce what they're asking for, ask questions, ask clarifying questions if you need it so that you can do it in your style. But you've got to be dedicated, and you've got to be dedicated to the art. Don't be flipping about it. Don't be lazy about it. If you truly want to do this, if you truly want to create this, there has to be that dedication. You have to give up things. Again, you can't create more time. There's only 24 hours in a day. You have to figure out how to fit this in with all the other demands. A lot of people will tell you they can't. They're too busy. That's a crutch. And I'm not going to give you my whole life story, but we've all been there. We've all done that. We've all been busy. Don't give yourself the crutch. There is time. You can do it if there is that desire. If there's that desire, then figure it out. There are things that can be reduced or even eliminated. And yeah, it may suck, but you know, what's your priority? At a certain point, you have to determine that, right? So dedication being the first one. Discipline. Again, when that alarm goes off at 5:15, I'm up. It sucks. I hate it. I was military. I don't like early mornings anymore. I don't want to have to get up like that, but I do. That's my creative time. That's when my brain is alive and plugged in to these worlds and these characters and their stories. And I have to do it. Even those mornings, I don't want to. Do it. Stay disciplined. Force yourself. Use those little tricks to stay true to what you've determined that your course is going to be. Do it for a month. After a month, it should be somewhat of a forming habit, and it should be much easier to do. And then the last one, delegate. Delegate whatever you can. You want to be able to do it? Delegate how you can. For example, I love working with Brian Bristol of the You Are Here podcast. He does production on Atheist Apocalypse. He does production on Subject Found. Him and I have come to a working agreement on how he will do that and how he will be compensated for that. I can produce. I can't produce to his level, but I can produce, you know, pretty decent audio dramas, but I don't want to. The more I have to produce and search for sound effects, the right sound effect for the right music, to clean up bad wave files or voice actors who, you know, make mouth noises that need to be cleaned out, all of that takes away from the time that I'm writing, and I don't want to do that. So I have to figure out a system for me that allows me to write as much as possible. Of course, there's a balance to that, and it may come monetarily, it may come in time, it may come in developing and cultivating relationships with other people. There are plenty of people looking to get into audio drama with a lot of skill sets or skill sets they can learn. Find those people, reach out, ask. There may be people who, whatever it is for you, you can only do so much. You only have so much time. If you want the best artwork, if you want the best music, if you want the best production, you either do it yourself and take all of that time to do it and take away from the creating of the story and the writing of the story, or you find people you can partner with and you determine what they want and what they need and what you can give them in return for this trade-off. Maybe you're not the writer. Maybe you are the producer. Again, the same thing. Maybe you're the musician or the artist. We are a very dynamic community. All of these things are needed. All of them are required. And everybody's looking for each other. So whatever you can give off to other people allows you that time to focus on those things or that thing that you need to be doing, that you want to be doing, that you have to be doing. And for me, that's writing. All other things I have to give off to other people. I have tried. I have tried to find the music on my own. I have tried to do the production on my own. I have even tried to do the graphics on my own. And I realized that I'm serious enough about this to go find the people who do this well and reach out to them and have them do it. Some of you may be able to form teams. Find people in your local theater group or in your local area or in your writer's group and talk about this. Maybe you can team up and split the responsibilities, but delegate those things that you don't need to be doing because they take away from your main strength. What is your main strength? Define it. That thing, anything outside of that thing, give to someone else. Look for help from someone else. Pay someone else. Do what you need to do to focus on what you can do. I hope this helps all of you. I hope it's what you needed. I want to thank Sarah and Fiona for the time. If you want to find me, again, my name is Paul Sadin. I am the creator and writer of Subject Found, which is a investigation show. This first season is a paranormal story. The second season will be a thriller. I'm also the creator, writer of Diary of a Madman, which is a concept show, psychological thriller. And lastly, my oldest audio drama coming up on season 4 very soon is a satirical comedy called Atheist Apocalypse. It's friendly for everyone because everyone gets picked on. You can find those shows over at their websites, foundstories.com, madmandiary.com, and atheistapocalypse.com. You can find me on Twitter at Paul Sadin, Instagram at Paul Sadin, and on the Facebook at facebook.com/ThePaulSadin. Thank you.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. And thank you very much to all our contributors for all of your helpful insight and advice.
And thanks to our wonderful executive producers, Matthew and Robert. We wish you all the very best in your productions.
Yes, good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now.